Greetings again this morning to all of you in Jesus' precious name. As Brother Larry was sharing the announcements and bringing to our attention that we have plans this week, we have options, we have numerous things we can do. I thought of the blessing that it is, and the blessing that it is again, the privilege that we have this morning to gather in this way. We are abundantly blessed. When you think of the world scenes, you think of what is happening in many other lands. Just this week I was reading, meditating, and thinking about some things that are happening across our lands. Are you aware this morning that what you and I are experiencing here is something that most of the world cannot experience this morning because of various situations that they find themselves in? There's 92 countries across the world right now that are at war, involved in war, conflict with each other somewhere. There's a total of 56 different conflicts that are going on across the world involving those. There's 100, more than 110 million people this morning who are displaced or are living as refugees in a refuge camp somewhere. Those are just the numbers that are going with war and conflict right now. Then you have the countries that Christians are being persecuted in for their faith, or being hunted down, who cannot gather together in this way as we do. There are those who are in countries in poverty, famine, things that we know nothing about. This week, our son Keith is in Bangladesh right now. This week, he called home and was talking to my wife one morning. And he asked her, he said, "Do you hear the noise in the background?" "Well, yes," she said, "I can hear there's noise back there. I can't tell what it is." "Well," he said, "it's the Hindu women out here this morning worshiping their gods and making noise to their gods. They're moaning in their things they're doing, their rituals that they're doing to their gods." And if you were ever in Bangladesh, you know what kind of noise that creates. But I thought about that. There's many people who are worshiping gods, but they know not what god they're even worshiping. They don't worship a god like you and I do and have the privilege to gather in this morning and worship in this way. I just share that with us for our encouragement. We are blessed. With, I think of the accountability that God is laying on our shoulders as we have these privileges and the things that are right here. We live in a land of ease and a land of, we focus on other things so many times. Let's think about the blessing that it is to gather in the quietness that we're experiencing, the tranquility that we're experiencing, and above all else, we know who we worship this morning. We know who God is. We have a God that's, like we heard this morning, a God that's on our side. Well, that's not the message that God laid in my heart this week. I'd like to share a message this morning. The title of the message is Guidance for Growing Christians. I thought about our week last week, part week of revivals we had last weekend. And I was so blessed with those revivals. And I believe many of you are. I heard those kind of testimonies. And then I thought of the young people that responded, the new Christians, and the ones that are in instruction class and are ready to be baptized. And I guess the message started growing from those thoughts. But I thought beyond that, and I thought about all of us and the need to continue to grow in our Christian life. You know, when you think about groweth, you may open your Bibles. First, before you do that this morning, can someone tell me what 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 is? It's a short verse. Has the idea of growing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 is our text verse for this morning. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge. I like to think about groweth this morning. Groweth is a matter. It's a serious matter. It's a matter of life and death, really, is what it is. If you're involved in any kind of, well, just think with me this morning in the natural sense. If there wouldn't be groweth around us, as we look out our windows, we see the earth blossoming and coming forth with new groweth. And in part of the country where we live in, it's most of the year. There's something happening. Yes, things go dormant over the winter time. Those of you that are in farming operations know what it's like to plant a crop and just the joy and the excitement that comes from seeing the seed spring forth and that crop coming forth. Those of us that are involved in animal husbandry like to see our cattle thrive, and we know what it's like to see the cattle doing well and coming growing, the growth that's there. You ladies have gardens and go to the effort of growing gardens, some of you, and the joy that it is to see the seed spring forth there. And then we think of our children, bringing this closer home, but still in the physical sense. Did you ever observe a child that was not growing physically? What happens when we have a situation like that? Does it bring concern? Yes, it does. Parents get concerned. In fact, they probably take it to the doctor, and the doctor gets concerned. We know that if the child does not grow, the probability of being abnormal or even dying prematurely is there. Well, those are in the physical things, but I like to think about it in the spiritual thing, in the spiritual realms this morning. Just like it is in the physical, we in the spiritual realms must continue to grow. There's nothing like stopping growth and standing at a certain place. We must continue to grow, all of us. You and I cannot stand still without suffering loss, as it were. And so I'd like to look at what the Bible says about this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to think about this verse for just a few moments this morning. What does it mean to grow in grace? There's such an inspiration in that word grace, because grace has to do with the favor of God. We think of grace as God's favor upon us. And so as God looks down upon the church, as he looks upon his people, as he looks upon people who have started the Christian life, his favor upon us is for us to grow. That's what he wants. He wants us to grow. And he gives us the environment in which we can grow in. In fact, he gives us everything we need to grow. He gives us the moisture that we need. He gives us good soils. He gives us, the list goes on. He gives us everything that we need. So we grow in grace. We grow in this favoritism of God. God is on our side, as it were, to see us grow. And I believe the heart of God is overjoyed when he sees us grow, just like we are when we see natural things grow. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of himself, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to have an understanding of the things that Jesus provided and the knowledge that he has. And so when you think, you just think about that thought, the knowledge of God. How much knowledge does God have? He has all knowledge. He's the author of knowledge. There's nothing that God does not know. And so he wants us to grow in that knowledge. Now, we can never attain all the knowledge that he has. But there is no end to groweth, as I think about that. There is no place where we say, well, we have attained it all, or we can stop growing here because there's nothing more to learn. No, that's not the case. We continue in all of life to grow in this knowledge, and we will never attain. We will never attain in earth life. I think it's what God is going to show us in the future, and we sit around the throne with him through the ceaseless ages of eternity. God is going to have so much more for us to add to our limited understanding, and till then we'll probably have a better understanding than we do now. But physically, we have control of our growth. When you think about, at least to a certain extent, we can choose an unbalanced diet and suffer malnutrition physically. We can even overeat and become overweight. We can decide to starve if we'd like to. We have choices we make. And just like children sometimes need to be told to eat so that they will grow strong and mature. So God here is telling us that eat, grow, get into the knowledge. I'm giving you the opportunity. The grace is extended to you and the privilege is here. And this morning we are here and we have so much going for us. Sometimes I talked about taking our children to the doctor when we see there's a problem, and sometimes the doctor gives us a prescription for something that's going to enhance appetite or enhance growth or take care of whatever the problem is that's holding the growth back. This morning, God has given us a prescription as well. He has given us the Bible. We're going to narrow that prescription down a little bit this morning. I'd like for you to turn back a few pages in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'd like to look at some of God's provision for us this morning. Some of the things, and then some of the things, secondly, the second part of the message, we want to look at things that he wants us to do. But first of all, I'd like for you to notice a number of things. Because growing up and being a Christian is hard work. Building the kingdom of God is hard work. It cannot be done by ourselves. It won't be done if we stay in a stunted stage. In other words, if we're just, yes, I understand this morning that when people come to Christ and they start a walk in the Christian life, there's many things they don't understand. The Bible refers to them as spiritual babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Peter talks about that. It's important that we keep desiring that milk, but we don't stay there. God needs men and women who are spiritually strong and mature. And he makes this provision for us. It's a part of the grace that he extends to us. Let's read chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses here, and we're going to use this for the springboard for the rest of the message this morning. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and about, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we'll cease reading there. I said I was going to read through verse 11. In fact, as I started studying this message, I came to the realization that there's much more here that I'm going to share in one message, and so I think maybe you'll hear two messages in relation to this. But I'd like to, in the first part of the message this morning, think about some of the provisions and inspire us with the provisions that I see in the first four verses here that are a part of the grace that God is extending to us this morning, the environment that he's putting here for us, making it possible for us to grow. So we have in the first verse, he says that it's Peter writing here, and he's a servant of God, he's the apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's writing to who? He's writing to them who have obtained like precious faith with us, he says. So Peter was a believer. Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a Christian. He was trying to live a Christian life. And he's writing to us so that to them that have obtained. He's writing to other Christians. He's writing to new Christians. To those of you who have just responded this morning, the message is to you. You are those of like precious faith with Peter, with Jesus. How? How is it done? How does it happen? It says, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So we know that Jesus came to save us. It's God's plan. It's because Almighty God, a sovereign God, decided this is how he was going to save us. And he's going to reach out to us. And he's going to allow us to come back into a relationship with him, obtain like precious faith with the Apostle Peter this morning and with other Christians. That's what makes us the family of God this morning, because each one of us is a part of that family. Then he goes on in verse 2 and he says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He brings this thought of grace again, this favor of his, this favor of God and peace. So when we obtain like precious faith and we acknowledge our sins, there's a peace that passes all understanding that enters into our hearts. I think that's a peace that he's talking about. So we have this favor and we have peace. And he says it's going to be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now those of you who are scholars and are old enough and have learned what multiplication facts are about, you know that the total sum of things starts adding up quite rapidly when you start multiplying, right? Well, that's what's happening here. He says he's going to multiply grace and peace. And as we allow him to do that, and as we enter into that, and as we seek and we search in this knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, it makes us rich is what it does. It's his riches. He's going to, well, I think of the word abundantly. It's just everything we need and then some. He's going to multiply it. Make us rich through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to be rich this morning in the knowledge of Jesus? Do you want to be rich in His grace? Do you want to be rich in His peace? The way to get there is to study God's Word, to dig into it, to acknowledge God and live for Him. Verse 3 says, "And according as His divine power has given unto us all things." Now I say God gives an environment that we can grow in. And it says here that it's according to His divine power. How much power does God have? What's the ability of God this morning? There is no limitations. Again, God can just give it everything it needs. There's no end to it. So according to this divine power, He has given unto us what? All things, everything. There's nothing missing. It's all things that pertain unto life, unto spiritual life and to godliness. We find it through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. He's calling us to a life of glory, a life of peace, a life of making us rich. We could keep on expounding on some of that. Verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we might be partakers of His divine nature." And when we do that, we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And they're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They are precious because it's life to us. They are precious because it gives this peace to us. It's precious to us because through this we can obtain more understanding of God and His will for our lives. They are exceeding great and they are exceedingly precious to us because it is life, eternal life, is the end result of it. We escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. We don't have to experience the things that people who turn their back on God need to experience because of the hardness of their hearts. When we open up to God, and so we become partakers of His divine nature. What a beautiful thing. Those are just touching on the provisions that God puts in place for us. Now, secondly, I'd like to think a little bit about the fact that God has made us with personal choices. We will never, I already alluded to this, but we will never be able to fulfill the responsibilities that God gives us personally without developing some spiritual qualities. In other words, I'm thinking about Christian people now, people who want to grow and people who are in the work of the Lord and want to serve Him. We can never fulfill the responsibilities that we have. An example of this, it takes a strong character to be a good husband, right? You cannot be a good husband to your wife without being having a strong character and having some spiritual qualities. You cannot be a good wife to your husband without having them as well. Neither can we be good parents and raise good children without some spiritual qualities, some discernment, some knowledge, some of the things that we want to look at this morning. Take a student in school. You cannot be a good scholar in school unless you develop some spiritual qualities. It takes perseverance and it takes some character in school to be the kind of person that you should be as a student. Teachers likewise. The list just goes on. You can put a businessman in there. You cannot be a good businessman unless you have some spiritual qualities, some things that guide you in the business world with integrity and it's how other people will appreciate you. You cannot be a good employee without having some spiritual qualities. Your employer will probably wish that some things were different if you're not what he wants you to be. And so my point is this morning, we make personal choices in all of this. To be useful to God and to our fellow men, we must maintain an ever-growing relationship with God. Be in contact. Well, Paul told Timothy, he put it like this. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." How do we attain? Paul goes on and he says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is within thee. We all have a gift this morning that God wants us to exercise. And he wants us to grow in these areas. And he says the way we do that is when we read and we study and we apply what we learn to our lives. He says one more thing. Meditate on these things. And so this morning, one of the requirements for us to grow, or some of the requirements for us to grow, is to read. And I know some people don't like to read, but God wants you to read his word. He wants you to read and dig into it and study it. And then when you're done reading, he doesn't just want you to lay your Bible aside, but he wants you to sit and ponder and meditate and think on these things for a while. You know that meditation is good for us? Meditation is good therapy for the mind. I just was reading about that this week, how some new studies are showing that several of the best things for a person, for their mind, is to meditate. And one of the ways to do that is to pray. Praying and meditating. Well, God designed us to do those things. God designed, you know, did it take a scientist to figure that out? It's the way God makes us, and it's what God wants for us. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. What he's saying is if we do these things, others are going to observe. Others are going to see that. This is our call. We cannot help others if we are not personally strong and healthy ourselves. We must do that. And so there are some virtues that we need to develop. And I'd like to look at these virtues this morning. The first one that I'd like to look at, and that we find these right here in the following verses that I just read. But So after our personal choices, I made that number one, I guess. Number two is develop virtue. We have this responsibility of developing virtue. He says in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So we looked at faith, the faith that is precious to us, the faith that we get, and I didn't say a lot about faith, but faith is number one. We must have faith and believe that God can do these things, that God will provide the provisions that we looked at. It takes this faith. But then right on the tail of faith is virtue. Virtue can be defined as moral strength, energy, and excellence is what virtue is. And truly today, friends, in the society of moral decay, the world of moral decay that we live in, we need Christians with backbones, Christians with virtue, Christians that are willing to stand up and say, no, but this is what's right, and this is what God wants. And only the law of God in our hearts can provide us with this stability. Brother Gene's devotions brought that out this morning when he talked about the priest and the Levite and the Good Samaritan. There was one of those that had a virtue in his heart. It was the law of God, the law of Christ. It was that law of love that he had attained through knowing God that made him stop and say, right now, there's nothing else important in my life except this man and his needs right here. It doesn't matter what else I had planned for today. Everything can go on the back burner right now. It must be those kind of things that we say, the rest doesn't matter. here's where I'm going to be. There's a lot of illustrations I could give, but as I think about personal choices in developing this virtue, I'm just going to say this: a person with strong virtue is not going to be a person who swears, who uses bad language. He's not going to be a person who does shady business. He's not going to be a person who's telling smirty stories. He's not going to be a person who boasts about himself and his own accomplishments. No, those things will have no part of him. In fact, he's a person who wants to deal fairly with people. He wants the other person to get as good of a part of the deal as he himself would like to have out of it. He's going to be a person who says, you know what, those stories that I'm tempted to tell, they really have no good value. They're going to give somebody else some bad thoughts to think about. It's going to lead someone else's mind astray down a path that is going to be a temptation to them, and there's nothing good in it. You see, we exercise this quality by always standing up for what is right, regardless of the cost. That's exactly what that Samaritan did. He done what he knew was right in his heart to do and what needed to be done, and he didn't stop and calculate whether he could afford this or how much this was going to cost him or how he was going to get his next meal if he spent this money on this man. The list goes on. We exercise this quality by standing up for what is right, regardless of the cost. So Peter says that we have faith. First of all, we believe in God. And then we grow by having virtues, good virtues, by standing up. Thirdly, he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. My third point is this: expand your knowledge. Expand your knowledge. Our spiritual knowledge comes from reading the Bible and from the Holy Spirit that God gives us. We grow in our Christian life as much as we exercise ourselves. You see, in the physical life, in our physical life, exercise is important. We all know that, and we get out and we work and we exercise and we do things because we know it's good for our bodies. Well, it's not any different in your spiritual life, dear friends. We must exercise. To expand our knowledge, we grow as we exercise. And we have so many opportunities. This goes back to my thought of how blessed we are with the opportunities that we have in the land of freedom that we live in and the quietness that we have. And we have Wednesday night the opportunity to be here at church and expand our knowledge. We can go into Sarah Todd and we can somehow through that experience expand our knowledge. You can go into the mission meeting and you can get your knowledge, expand your knowledge some more. Or you can sit at home in the easy chair and miss out on it all. It's your choice to do that. But Peter is saying, expand your knowledge. I'd like to say this morning, I'd like to encourage us this morning that we use every opportunity we have to expand our knowledge of God and His will for our lives. That means we find ourselves in church listening to the preaching. It's important that we all need to be preached to. We all need to be taught. We need ministers who are faithful in doing this and expounding in the Word. And I'm thankful for this, our ministry and the team that we have here and the things that we're taught and the various gifts that we have among us and can teach us. But it's important that we're here and we listen to that. It's why it's important to do your Sunday school lesson. Don't just read through the Sunday school book and throw it aside. Well, it's why you study. The evidence that you have studied and if you have done your Sunday school lesson is when you can sit in the class and you can talk about it and you can contribute and you can say something. It's an indication that you have a desire to grow. We have Bible schools. attend Bible schools. I'm going to promote Bible school this morning. Be there. It's a valuable experience. Yes, for a 65-year-old preacher to go there and teach, it's a valuable experience. I probably come away learning as much from Bible school sometimes, as, or maybe even more than what some of those young people do. It's in a different way, but it's good for me. I come home thrilled about that again. It does something for you. There's New York for Jesus, an opportunity to witness. There's LA for Jesus, an opportunity to go there and be among God's people. And they can be an inspiration to you. Don't shun those opportunities. Be there. So, this is all about the point of expanding your knowledge. We do it, I said, through reading, and we do it through getting involved in these activities. But we also do it through the meditation and the prayer that I talked about earlier. You see, when we stop and we push out everything else and we concentrate on praying to God and we concentrate on meditating, this is when the Holy Spirit can work in our lives and teach us. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will lead us unto all truth. All truth. Again, it goes back to this idea of everything that God has, all the wisdom and understanding that God has, He will give us all truth. And so it's important for us to pray, to meditate. Yes, listening to the preaching of God's word is important. Read good books. I said good books. Read sound books. Do away with those novels and those things that think about the vanity of life and give you a false picture and a false hope of things that aren't, they don't amount to anything. Read sound books, inspirational books, good books. Have a desire for the things of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The sincere milk of the word. Read what promotes that. And so expand your knowledge, dear ones. Number 4, train in temperance. Add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance, train in temperance. So what is temperance? I believe that temperance follows knowledge. Temperance is the control of our desires. It's the control of our body. It's control of the things that may even be legitimate, that may be okay. But we must maintain control over them. It's just like a lot of things in life, even good things. Can be overdone when there's too much of it. Good things become not so good when we indulge in them. And so we need to train in temperance. As we grow in knowledge, we must, by an act of our will, put knowledge into practice, is what it must be. In other words, it's a choice again. It's by an act of our will. I think it was brought out here this morning through the service. Maybe it was the devotions again. I think it was. That until we act on what is in our hearts, that's when we know it is there. Paul talked about this. I'm just going to turn back. You don't have to turn there with me. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul actually talked about this numerous times. But in chapter 6 he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Is the thought that I want. Paul said there are things that it would be okay. But what's the benefit? And so as he considered that, he said, you know, I'm going to take control of that, and I'm not going to be brought under the power of it. It was a personal choice that he made. And it's how we train in temperance. Dear friends, this morning, each of you has to make that choice personally. Just because your friend beside you decides it's okay for them to do and they're going to indulge in it, doesn't make it right for you to indulge in. It doesn't make it right for me to indulge in. In fact, if the Holy Spirit is telling you that that's really not a good thing to indulge in, no matter if others are doing it, you better say, you know what? I'm not going to be brought under the power of that. God doesn't want me to be, because if I do, God is going to hold me accountable, because God is talking to me through his Holy Spirit. And this message is for myself. I'm responsible for myself. I'm not responsible for other people. I will not give an account on the judgment day for my friends, for others, your brothers or sisters. You will give an account for your own personal choices and what God's Spirit spoke to you about. So train in temperance is my point. Control the desires that are not lawful. Control the thoughts that Satan puts into your mind, the temptations that come. No, I'm not going to do that. It's a part of training in temperance. Number five, and the last point we're going to look at in this message, I'm going to pick up on this. I like to look at the rest of these Christian virtues here in another message. And then I'd also like to look in that message, I'd like to look at some hindrances, that some things that hinder us from growing. But we'll not go into that this morning. My fifth point, my last point for this morning, is that we should practice, he says, that we are to add to temperance patience. Patience. And then to patience, godliness. Patience. Patience means we have perfect Christian character. Let me turn with me in your Bibles, if you would like, to the book of James. James chapter 1. He says this about patience. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, we don't look at temptations as something that we enjoy or want or invite into our lives. The things that aren't pleasant to experience, we shun away from them. But he says, count it all joy when you fall into these things, when these things come into your experience. Because if you apply the rest of these virtues we talked about, and especially temperance that we just talked about, then you're not going to fall into sin. You're not going to fall into these things. But even though God is allowing you to go through the experience, you're going to apply temperance, and you're going to take that temperance and let it work patience in you. Verse 4, he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How do we develop this virtue of patience? We develop patience by joyfully anticipating difficult situations and keeping our eyes fixed on the goal beyond. Joyfully anticipating difficult situations. Does that sound easy? It's not easy in my experience. I don't like difficult situations. They're not fun to go through. They're not fun to relate to. They take energy. They burn up energy that could be used for other things that would be better. We sit about and we think about them, and we wonder how we can get out of this mess we're in when we find ourselves in those kind of things. But James is saying, God brings them into our experience for a reason. And he says, take them joyfully and look for the good, learn from them. In other words, let God shape you. Let God knock some more of our rough corners off. It goes back to our brother's illustration of building the temple in the physical way, and how they shape the stones and fit them together, and how he's doing that to each one of us. That's what he's using this patience to do that many times. It's how we develop patience. God takes us through these situations to shape us and fit us for something in the future, is what he does. That's his goal. He has a goal beyond this experience. And the way you and I find our way through these experiences is to keep our eyes fixed on the goal as well. And so this morning, let's continue to grow. Let's continue to expand in the things of God. And let's continue to focus on the goal beyond this life. Let's kneel for prayer.